Smart Marketing for Love Small
Talk
Business.
Radio.
The show where we hopefully help you work smarter, help you outthink your competition rather than outspend them, to stand out from the crowd. And we do that in a number of ways. One, guests that we have on our show, like the young lady Doreen Dove that we're going to talk to in just a few moments. We also have our four LinkedIn groups, Smart Marketing for Small Business, same name as the show, obviously, Creative Thinkers Forum, where we encourage you to think creatively and participate in the discussions, Celebrities for Marketing, and that's celebrities with the number four for marketing, where we work to show you how to basically utilize celebrities, and you can afford celebrities, surprisingly, for a lot less money than people think. And lastly, my favorite area, Fearless Marketers. That's for those of you who don't mimic what others do but are willing to try and break out of the mold and be fearless. So those are some things that we have. We also have our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com. We encourage you to visit our website, smartmarketinggroup.com. And we want to hear from you as it relates to topics, criticisms, ideas, even if you'd like to be a guest on the show. And you contact us through marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y at AOL.com. And who am I? I'm Les Wolf, CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia. But let's talk about who our guest is tonight. She is named is Doreen Dove. And Doreen, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening.
We're going to get them to learn a lot. But let's first take a brief description, Doreen, of what you do, because it's an important aspect of marketing oneself. And Doreen, why don't you give a kind of a synopsis of how you position yourself and the services that you offer?
All right. Well, I am an image consultant and a personal stylist, author, and speaker. And what I do is I empower women to look good, feel good, and dress with purpose every day, putting their best foot forward. I encourage and empower women to use style as a tool to take strategic control of their image so they can confidently embrace the possibilities of their future. We outsource everything these days, as you all know, and it's really time to outsource your style. So I work with business women so that they understand that everything is able to be found on Google. So your past is your future and your present. So it's important that every day we step out of the house completely prepared for what's in front of us.
So when you talk about style, you're talking not just the physical appearance, but you're getting them the mental preparation, doing their homework. Am I correct?
Absolutely. The first step for a lot of women who experience a lot of body changes, and men also, is to stop thinking that there's something wrong with their body and start recognizing that there's something wrong with their clothing. So oftentimes, most clothing conundrums start in a woman's closet with either what is in there or what's not in there. So my services start with pretty much, let's talk about what's in your closet. Open up the doors, let's see what kind of drama you're presented with on a daily basis. But that's just kind of a gateway, because once I'm in there with them, the history begins to unfold. And then I'm able to get into their psyche, into their head, to figure out why they struggle, what it is that's holding them back when it comes to their confidence. And you need confidence to be able to put your best foot forward every day.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's interesting you say that, because I know from men's point of view, I go into meetings, and you know, nowadays you see everybody in casual clothing, especially men.
Casual Friday is a disaster.
Well, what I do is I wear a suit or a sport coat and a tie, and I've created my own look I have a white beard, and what little hair that's left is white. But I wear black shirts with black ties, matching kerchiefs in my sport coats or my suit. And what I find is I get more attention because I'm the only one in the room with the suit.
Right, and that's good attention.
Yeah, no, it's very positive attention. And I would say that I would think, or let me ask rather than thinking about this, one of the things that I look at when I see people, male or female, is also their physical, not only condition, but their physical posture. You know, do they have, you know, are they sitting up straight? Do they have, are they leaning forward a little? Are they slouched back? Do they have a positive, you know, I'm here and I mean something. I'm valuable. Do you find that posture is an aspect as well as the clothing?
I do. It's an entire package. Let me give as an example. Last night I spoke to a networking group here in the Boston area, and a lot of women make the mistake of building their business before they build their personal brand. You know, there's that old, oh, you should try and fly the plane while you're building the plane, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not so good. So a woman will come up to me and she's got her elevator pitch all memorized, and she'll put her hand out, shake my hand, and tell me what she does. And I'm looking at her physical appearance, whether it's, you know, her lack of confidence, her shoulders are slooped down, her handshake is kind of weak and a little bit clammy, and, you know, and the clothing itself. So you need to start with the basics. It's all about what you're wearing. You need to be well-dressed. You have to be well-tailored. You have to have your shoes shined. You have to be prepared so that that first impression that's going to last forever is going to mean something, because if you've got a good pitch and you potentially have built a good business, but you walk up to introduce yourself to somebody, that impression is going to carry them to either do business with you or not do business with you. So
well,
it's important,
you know,
it's a complete package.
This is a very interesting area. So the obvious question is, what is your background that led you to this?
I started at Ann Taylor as a skinny little kid modeling in the window in O Dark 100 when Ann Taylor only had about three stores. So the owners were in there all the time, Richard Mead and Liebeskind. So I learned kind of from the best. And so I've been pretty much helping men and women get dressed for four decades. I stayed with Ann Taylor through high school, worked my way through Boston College, and never left the industry. I was a store owner. I was a buyer in the market with $6 million to spend in both menswear and womenswear. And pretty much it's a common thread, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether your budget is Target or whether you're shopping at Neiman Marcus, it all comes down to the same thing. And as a buyer, I had $6 million to spend in the market. I had to break down my dollars. My open to buy had to be by category. So when I work with clients now, I try and break down the whole myth of I have no clue where to begin with my wardrobe, and we just talk about it by category. Like when you opened, you talked about that you know, the trousers that you wear or the sport coat that you wear or the ascot or the tie or the shirt. Those are just categories. So if we can get people to start to build the foundations in their wardrobe, they're not going to struggle. Most closets have too much stuff in there. They don't even know what's in there. So it's really about kind of just breaking it down and solving the riddle and starting from the ground level up.
Was one of the concerns or complaints that you might run into the fact, oh, I don't have enough money to have the kind of wardrobe I should have? I would think that's not as important as the kind of thinking that you are providing them with. Am I correct?
Correct. I want to empower them to look good and feel good today. Everything has to fit, flatter, and function. And it's not really about a price point. You know, there are stores across America that sell all sorts of clothing. You can buy a black pair of pants at, you know, Target, and you can buy a black pair of pants at Nordstrom's. If you're trying to create an image and a brand, it has to be consistent across all platforms. So if we can get it down to 20 pieces, today I taped a show for a cable network locally here, and I brought 20 items on my rolling rack and showed the participants how many outfits I could make out of 20 items on the rack. And it's amazing how far it can go.
That's absolutely fascinating.
Very little items.
Is that only in the Boston area, or are they going to syndicate it?
It'll be all over the place. But the point being that, you know, I can get somebody dressed confidently and beautifully at any price point. And what they need to understand is that their brand needs to be consistent across all of their social platforms, LinkedIn, you know, Facebook, their website. They have to come up with a brand, a look, and it has to be the same. I'm going to tell you, if I meet somebody and they hand me their card and I'm impressed and I go to their LinkedIn profile and I look at that photograph and it's a great picture of them, but there's somebody else's shoulder that's been cropped out, it kind of tells me you're not really taking it seriously. So, you know, when somebody Googles your name, when I Googled you, I saw all your branding, it's all consistent. I know when you Google me, you're going to see me across all my platforms. And, you know, if you Google somebody like Sheryl Sandberg, you know, her business brand and her personal brand has the same synergy. So we have to be careful what we put out there. You have to make sure that your plan for your brand is flexible. You know, you want to be authentic, but you don't want to be boring and rigid. You need to be able to vary your looks for your pitch, for your audiences. You also need to keep up with the times. You have to build evergreen content.
Well, you hit upon a point that also bothers me at times. As I tell people in my writing and lecturing and what have you, if you look at the business cards you've collected, 7 out of 10, you can't tell what business the people are in.
Correct.
They have a name. They have a name that has, you know, called Zizek or something, and you know, it looks like a technology name or something. But there's no subtitle that gives an explanation. And business
and
cards.
And photograph.
Like
I think the photograph is key on your business card. You know, I came home last night with 32 cards. I'm going to remember the women whose face I'm looking at.
Well, there's also a concern that I'm running across in the marketplace, and that is because of the Internet, people are saying, well, I don't need a business card. And I said,
oh,
yes.
Boy.
I
think you kind of need it all. You know, you need to,
it
needs to be professionally done. I had a woman recently contact me to work with her, and she's working with graduate students, and she's at high-level coaching, and she said, so did you look at my website? And I said, well, actually, yes, I did. She said, well, do you have any input? And I said, yeah, I thought you were a yoga instructor. I said, oh, well, why is that? And I said, because every single photograph of you on your website, you had on a sleeveless shirt. Now, granted, you have nice arms, but I'm not hiring you to know how you work out. I'm hiring you for your professional ability. You should have a powerful jacket on in just one picture at least on your website. So it's those small little details that people notice. And people notice everything, whether your nails are done, whether your hair is groomed, whether your shoes are shined. My goodness, I was sitting behind a woman. I was at a big Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce meeting. Arianna Huffington was the speaker. There were women dressed to the nines. And the woman in front of me, when she crossed her leg, the bottom of her beautiful shoe had a big, bright red size tag on the bottom of it. It said size 8.5. Now, it was the bottom of her shoe, granted, but there it was for all of us to see. So you just never know who's looking. You just have to look at yourself and your package as if it was someone else observing.
That's why there's mirrors.
And you have to look at the back, too, because you have to look good when you leave the room.
No, It is the whole picture, is the whole package. And that, this is something I find in marketing in general that a lot of people don't understand. There's a wonderful description of marketing that I think fits the situation that we're talking about here. And it actually comes out of Boston, the Harvard Business School. It was a gentleman named Theodore Levitt who defined marketing as all the exhilarating big things and all the troublesome little things that must be done in every nook and cranny of the entire corporate organization in order to achieve the purpose of attracting and holding a customer. And in a sense, we're talking about the same thing here. It is everything. It is the big things. It's the little things that create the complete picture.
Exactly.
All right,
and
we're going
to
stop.
And they have to think about what it's costing them not to make a change.
It's a very good point. Now, we're going to stop for a second because I want people to know, how do they reach you?
I have a very robust website, and my branding is consistent all the way across. So that's at DoreenDove.com. I've also published a book, which is called entitled Confidence is Always in Style. So that can be found at confidenceisalwaysinstyle.com. And I touch on all the points, what's in your closet and why, what's not in there and why not, how to do a closet edit, how to shop with purpose, what to look for to build an essential wardrobe, and then all the details, the hair, the makeup, the jewelry, the shoes, you know, and making sure that it all kind of goes together and puts out the picture that you want to present out there. And I talk about things like building evergreen content. I recently dressed a client for a meeting at the White House with Vice President Biden, and I got a text in the morning, and she said, "Well, I want to wear my boots." And I texted her back and I went, "No, you're not wearing your boots. You're already in the building. You want to create evergreen content. Wouldn't you much rather have a picture of yourself with Vice President Biden while you're wearing a pair of black pumps so that it could be July or it could be January?" So people need to think about those things. You know, you don't need that big, heavy Harris tweed jacket in your LinkedIn profile photo. Pick an all-wool tropical suit. Small little details like that, and swap out your photos, you know, seasonally. If you've had long hair and now you've got a pixie cut, your photo should have a pixie cut. You don't want people to be shocked when they meet you in person because your branding doesn't match who you are today.
Well, you know, there's a phrase that comes to mind when I talk about marketing. My area's specialty is integrated marketing strategy. I talk about creating a marketing mosaic. It's all the little pieces that create the big picture. And in a sense, this is what you're talking about as well. It's all the various elements that create the overall impression.
Exactly. And I actually made that note here. I was saying that there are so many intersecting points along the graph that could cause a shift or a disconnect when it comes to your image. So you're moving along, and you have to realize there's all those puzzle pieces that are going to go together. And if you don't have the four corners, it's not a good plan.
Let me ask you, when people come to you, what is in general some of the challenges that they feel they're facing that they need your help on?
One of the biggest challenges when people come is they don't know where to begin. In other words, they realize in their mind, I may have a corner office, you know, CEO that has already arrived. She's there. She's at the top of her game. But guess what's happening? The younger ones are coming in. They're better dressed. They're a little bit more hip. They're a little more stylish. And her free time is on the soccer field. Last thing that she wants to do is go to the mall and slog around and try and figure out how she can keep up with the millennials that are coming in the door. So it's really about, I don't have the time, I don't know where to begin, and it's not something that I'm good at. So bingo, it's time to outsource your style. Go to a professional. There's somebody that can help you put the package together. And for me, like I say, we'll get the closet straightened out. We'll come up with a plan of a few things that need to be purchased. We'll fix the LinkedIn photo. I'll help them with conference packing, travel packing. I deal with a lot of speakers, And that's a challenge in itself. You'll go to a conference for 2-3 days. You'll look around the room, and the women look pretty good the first day. And they look okay the second day. But by the time it gets to the third day, they're at a loss because they really only had one good outfit. So I kind of make sure that it'll take them the full length of whatever event they're doing. And even on stage speaking, you know, oftentimes women will get dressed and they'll look in the mirror and say, I look great, but they're standing. And before you know it, they're on a panel up on a stage and they're sitting. The skirt is too short, or the shoe has a red tag underneath on the bottom, or the jacket is riding up. You have to play the role that you're going to play all the way through, from the beginning to the end. You have to practice the play before you get out there on stage.
Well, I would think that what comes to mind is what I call a marketing plan, is the sense that if you're going to go make a presentation, you're going to give a speech, whatever it is you're going to do, you have to sit down and say, okay, this is what my goal is. Mm-hmm. These are the elements that are going to impact what I do. And again, that overall picture, I think what you're saying is a lot of people don't take the time to sit down and think through the situation where they're going to be as it relates to style. They may be thinking about their presentation in the sense of the information they're delivering, but
right.
The way they look impacts the receptivity of their message.
And everything about it, they may not have realized they've got the noisiest shoes in the world.
Yeah.
So, everything looks great, and then they start walking across the stage, and it sounds like the Clydesdales coming across the stage. Or they've got on a really noisy bracelet. You know, you get. I speak at BAFS and BU Wellesley to the graduating seniors, helping them go from college garb to internship, interview, and job clothing. And one of the first things I talk about is you can't have noisy jewelry. You're going for an interview. They don't want to hear your bracelet or your necklace. And you can't be touching your hair all the time. They don't want to shake your hand if they've just seen you run your fingers through your hair. All those little details. People need to realize that old adage, what can go wrong will go wrong, is in fact true. That's why it's lasted
always
so long. So you need to, in your mind, go through what could possibly go wrong and try and ward it off before it happens.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to pause for a second because I'm going to tell the audience a little bit about what I do. And
excellent.
What I do in addition to this show is I produce workshops, seminars, and give speeches, what I call highly interactive dialogue presentations, to people who, mainly in the small business market, but also Fortune 500, where people have concerns and issues that they would like to discuss. As I just talking to someone earlier today about the WIFM factor, WIIFM, it is the key to all communication. What's in it for me? And it is something that is missing from a lot of marketing plans where someone is selling features, but people don't buy features, they buy benefits. So that's why I encourage people to go up to our LinkedIn group and groups, and I encourage you to start a discussion on any one of our groups anytime, as well as contributing to our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com. But one of the areas that I am very interested in increasing is public speaking. And I encourage anyone who's interested in knowing about what I offer to email me at marketingsmartly@aol.com, and I can give them a lot more information. I have been on the speaking circuit for more decades than I want to talk about, but I went off it for about 10 years due to a personal situation, and now I'm back on that. Putting that all aside, let's continue with this, because this is something that I think people have, at least the people that I have run across, no matter where it is, whether it's in this country or somewhere else, have an idea of what you're talking about, but don't put enough thought behind it. It's kind of, I'm so busy, I don't have time to focus on that. And that, I would seem, for them to understand, is a major mistake. But I'm also interested.
You could meet your next million-dollar client at the grocery store.
I'm also interested, you know, you talked about millennials, but more and more people are working later and later in life. You know, the new middle age is 75.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find a difference, any sort of dramatic difference in the thinking of people, let's say 50, 60, 70, who are still active in business? Are they more open-minded, more closed-minded? And I mean C-L-O-S-E, not closed. But are they, yeah.
I think they're
smarter.
I'd be
very interested in.
I think okay. They're smarter, and I think they are open-minded. I have a lot of clients that are, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80. My oldest client is 92. And they've been around a long time. They've seen a lot of changes. And when I coach them about how to make a change, they actually are ready to relinquish some of the Mr. Rogers cardigans. And they're ready to look a little bit more current because they say, well, you know, I'm not ready to just sit down and knit all day. I want to start a new business. I want to write a book. I want to travel. I want to work for a nonprofit. I want to be important. And so they want to be current.
They want to contribute. They want to contribute.
They want to contribute,
society.
And they want to be current.
Absolutely.
I worked with a woman this week who is 74 years old. She's had her own business for 25 years. She's very accomplished, but she said, you know, she was tired of having her own gig, and she just got hired. She's actually going to be taking public transportation, working in Harvard Square, and she wanted to look current when she walked in that door. She didn't want to look like the 74-year-old woman walking in the door. And I made her look damn good. I have to tell you, she's going to walk in that office next Monday morning, and her shoulders are going to be squared off, and her head is going to be high, and she's going to be ready to kind of rock the roll. So I absolutely think that, yes, I mean, older is better.
let me ask you something.
Absolutely.
We only have a couple minutes left. How did you market yourself?
I made sure that I built my brand before I built my business. And I have to readily admit that I've always been conscious of my brand, you know, having been in this business all these years. But, you know, I'm very A-type. So I wanted to make sure before that website went up that my pictures were on target, that my language was on target, that my links. You want to build your brand before you build your business. Because if you put a bad brand out there and then try and sell the business, that's down there. That's in Google. It's your past. So I made sure that I built my brand before I launched anything else. And number two, I'm flexible with my plan. I am constantly, as good as my website is, and I think that it is, I am constantly changing it. Every single day,
I'll
go through and make sure. And I keep up with the times. You know, I want to make sure
that
I'm talking about things.
We only have a few seconds left, about a minute. I want, again, to remind people that your website is DoreenDove.com.
Correct. Spelled DoreenDove.com.
And your book is Confidence is Always in Style.com.
Correct.
And now, is it available anywhere else?
Currently only on my website, but within 2 weeks it'll probably be listed on Amazon. But if you order it right from me, I'll give you a nice little autograph and I'll send it out with a few other things in the envelope.
That's what I call a nice incentive.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for participating on this show.
Well, I want to thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Please feel free to use our LinkedIn group, our blog, and I will be talking to you probably in the next couple of days with some additional ideas.
Okay, great. I look forward to staying connected, Les.
All right, you take care. And
thank you very
may
much.
The weather, may weather be good and dry. Take care.
Thank you.